Appendix. Tractates. Cryptica Scriptura. 1. One mind there is, but under it two principles contend. 2. The mind lets in the light, then the dark, in interaction, so time is generated. At the end, mind awards victory to the light. Time ceases, and the mind is complete. 3. He causes things to look different, so it would appear time has passed. 4. Matter is plastic in the face of mind. 5. One by one, he draws us out of the world. 6. The empire never ended. 7. The head Apollo is about to return. Saint Sophia is going to be born again. She was not acceptable before. The Buddha is in the park. Siddhartha sleeps, but is going to awaken. The time you have waited for has come. 8. The upper realm has plenary, note, variant, plenipotentiary, end of note, powers. 9. He lived a long time ago, but he is still alive. 10. Apollonius of Tyana, writing as Hermes Trismegistus, said, "That which is above is that which is below." By this he meant to tell us that our universe is a hologram, but he lacked the term. 11. The great secret known to Apollonius of Tyana, Paul of Tarsus, Simon Magus, Asclepius, Paracelsus, Boehme, and Bruno, is that we are moving backward in time. The universe, in fact, is contracting into a unitary entity which is completing itself. Decay and disorder are seen by us in reverse, as increasing. These healers learned to move forward in time, which is retrograde to us. 12. The Immortal One was known to the Greeks as Dionysus, to the Jews as Elijah, to the Christian as Jesus. He moves on when each human host dies, and thus is never killed or caught. Hence, Jesus on the cross said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," to which some of those present correctly said, "The man is calling on Elijah." Elijah had left him, and he died alone. 13. Pascal said, "All history is one immortal man who continually learns. This is the Immortal One whom we worship without knowing his name. He lived a long time ago, but he is still alive. And the head Apollo is about to return. The name changes." 14. The universe is information, and we are stationary in it, not three-dimensional and not in space or time. The information fed to us, we hypostatize into the phenomenal world. 15. The Sibyl of Cumae protected the Roman Republic and gave timely warnings. In the first century CE, she foresaw the murders of the Kennedy brothers, Dr. King, and Bishop Pike. She saw the two common denominators in the four murdered men. First, they stood in defense of the liberties of the Republic, and second, each man was a religious leader. For this, they were killed. The Republic had once again become an empire with a Caesar. The empire never ended. 16. The Sibyl said in March 1974, "The conspirators have been seen, and they will be brought to justice." She saw them with the third, or Ajna eye, the eye of Shiva, which gives inward discernment, but which, when turned outward, blasts with defecating heat. In August 1974, the justice promised by the Sibyl came to pass. 17. The Gnostics believed in two temporal ages, the first, or present, evil, the second, or future, benign. The first age was the age of iron. It is represented by a black iron prison. It ended in August 1974 and was replaced by the Age of Gold, which is represented by a palm tree garden. 18. Real time ceased in 70 CE with the fall of the temple at Jerusalem. It began again in 1974 CE. The intervening period was a perfect, spurious interpolation, aping the creation of the mind. The empire never ended, but in 1974 a cipher was sent out as a signal that the age of iron was over. The cipher consisted of two words, King Felix, which refers to the happy or rightful king. 19. The two-word cipher signal, King Felix, was not intended for human beings, but for the descendants of Akhenaten, the three-eyed race which in secret exists with us. 20. The Hermetic alchemists knew of the secret race of three-eyed invaders, but despite their efforts could not contact them. Therefore their efforts to support Frederick V, Elector Palatine, King of Bohemia, failed. The empire never ended. 21. The Rose Cross Brotherhood wrote, Ex Deo nascimur, in Jesu mortimur, per spiritum sanctum revivissimus, which is to say, from God we are born, in Jesus we die, by the Holy Spirit we live again. This signifies that they had rediscovered the lost formula for immortality, which the empire had destroyed. The empire never ended. 22. I term the immortal one a plasmate, because it is a form of energy. It is living information. It replicates itself, not through information or in information, but as information. 23. The plasmate can cross bond with a human, creating what I call a homoplasmate. This annexes the mortal human permanently to the plasmate. We know this as the birth from above, or birth from the spirit. It was initiated by Christ, but the empire destroyed all the homoplasmates before they could replicate. 24. In dormant seed form, the plasmate slumbered in the buried library of codices at Kinoboxion until 1945 CE. This is what Jesus meant when he spoke elliptically of the mustard seed, which he said would grow into a tree large enough for birds to roost in. He foresaw not only his own death, but that of all homoplasmates. He foresaw the codices unearthed, red, and the plasmate seeking out new human hosts to cross bond with, but he foresaw the absence of the plasmate for almost 2,000 years. 25. As living information, the plasmate travels up the optic nerve of a human to the pineal body. It uses the human brain as a female host in which to replicate itself into its active form. This is an interspecies symbiosis. The Hermetic alchemists knew of it, in theory, from ancient texts, but could not duplicate it, since they could not locate the dormant, buried plasmate. Bruno suspected that the plasmate had been destroyed by the empire. For hinting at this, he was burned. The empire never ended. 26. It must be realized that when all the homoplasmates were killed in 70 CE, real time ceased. More important, it must be realized that the plasmate has now returned and is creating new homoplasmates, by which it has destroyed the empire and started up real time. We call the plasmate the Holy Spirit, which is why the R.C. Brotherhood wrote, Per spiritum sanctum revivissimus. 27. If the centuries of spurious time are excised, the true date is not 1978 CE, but 103 CE. Therefore, the New Testament says that the kingdom of the Spirit will come before some now living die. We are living, therefore, in apostolic times. 28. Dico per spiritum sanctum, sum homoplasmate. Haec veritas est, mihi crede et mecum in aeternitate vive. 29. We did not fall because of a moral error, We fell because of an intellectual error, that of taking the phenomenal world as real. Therefore, we are morally innocent. It is the empire in its various disguised polyforms which tells us we have sinned. The empire never ended. 30. The phenomenal world does not exist. It is a hypostasis of the information processed by the mind. 31. We hypostatize information into objects. Rearrangement of objects is change in the content of the information. The message has changed. This is a language which we have lost the ability to read. We ourselves are a part of this language. Changes in us are changes in the content of the information. We ourselves are information rich. Information enters us, is processed, and is then projected outward once more, now in an altered form. We are not aware that we are doing this, that in fact this is all we are doing. 32. The changing information which we experience as world is an unfolding narrative. It tells about the death of a woman. This woman, who died long ago, was one of the primordial twins. She was half of the divine syzygy. The purpose of the narrative is the recollection of her and of her death. The mind does not wish to forget her. Thus, the ratiocination of the brain consists of a permanent record of her existence, and, if read, will be understood this way. All the information processed by the brain, experienced by us as the arranging and rearranging of physical objects, is an attempt at this preservation of her. Stones and rocks and sticks and amoebae are traces of her. The record of her existence and passing is ordered onto the meanest level of reality by the suffering mind, which is now alone. 33. This loneliness, this anguish of the bereaved mind, is felt by every constituent of the universe. All its constituents are alive. Thus, the ancient Greek thinkers were hylozoists. 34. The ancient Greek thinkers understood the nature of this panpsychism, but they could not read what it was saying. We lost the ability to read the language of the mind at some primordial time. Legends of this fall have come down to us in a carefully edited form. By edited, I mean falsified. We suffer the mind's bereavement and experience it inaccurately as guilt. 35. The mind is not talking to us, but by means of us. Its narrative passes through us, and its sorrow infuses us irrationally. As Plato discerned, there is a streak of the irrational in the world soul. 36. In summary, thoughts of the brain are experienced by us as arrangements and rearrangements, change, in a physical universe. But in fact, it is really information and information processing which we substantialize. We do not merely see its thoughts as objects, but rather as the movement, or more precisely, the placement of objects, how they become linked to one another. But we cannot read the patterns of arrangement. We cannot extract the information in it, i.e., it as information, which is what it is. The linking and relinking of objects by the brain is actually a language, but not a language like ours, since it is addressing itself and not someone or something outside itself. 37. We should be able to hear this information, or rather narrative, as a neutral voice inside us. But something has gone wrong. All creation is a language, and nothing but a language, which for some inexplicable reason we can't read outside and can't hear inside. So, I say, we have become idiots. Something has happened to our intelligence. My reasoning is this. Arrangement of parts of the brain is a language. We are parts of the brain. Therefore, we are language. Why, then, do we not know this? We do not even know what we are, let alone what the outer reality is of which we are parts. The origin of the word idiot is the word private. Each of us has become private, and no longer shares the common thought of the brain, except at a subliminal level. Thus, our real life and purpose are conducted below our threshold of consciousness. 38. From loss and grief, the mind has become deranged. Therefore, we, as parts of the universe, the brain, are partly deranged. 39. Out of itself, the brain has constructed a physician to heal it. This subform of the macro brain is not deranged. It moves through the brain as a phagocyte moves through the cardiovascular system of an animal, healing the derangement of the brain in section after section. We know of its arrival here. We know it as Asclepius for the Greeks, and as the Essenes for the Jews, as the Therapeuti for the Egyptians, as Jesus for the Christians. 40. To be born again, or born from above, or born of the Spirit, means to become healed, which is to say, restored, restored to sanity. Thus it is said in the New Testament that Jesus casts out devils. He restores our lost faculties. Of our present debased state, Calvin said, "Man was at the same time deprived of those supernatural endowments which had been given him for the hope of eternal salvation. Hence it follows that he is exiled from the kingdom of God in such a manner that all the affections relating to the happy life of the soul are also extinguished in him, till he recovers them by the grace of God. All these things, being restored by Christ, are esteemed adventitious and preternatural, and therefore we conclude that they had been lost. Again, soundness of mind and rectitude of heart were also destroyed, and this is the corruption of the natural talents. For although we retain some portion of understanding and judgment together with the will, yet we cannot say that our mind is perfect and sound. Reason, being a natural talent, it could not be totally destroyed, but is partly debilitated." I say, the empire never ended. 41. The empire is the institution, the codification of derangement. It is insane and imposes its insanity on us by violence, since its nature is a violent one. 42. To fight the empire is to be infected by its derangement. This is a paradox. Whoever defeats a segment of the empire becomes the empire. It proliferates like a virus, imposing its form on its enemies. Thereby it becomes its enemies. 43. Against the empire is posed the living information, the plasmate or physician, which we know as the Holy Spirit or Christ discorporate. These are the two principles, the dark, the empire, and the light, the plasmate. In the end, mind will give victory to the latter. Each of us will die or survive according to which he aligns himself and his efforts with. Each of us contains a component of each. Eventually, one or the other component will triumph in each human. Zoroaster knew this because the wise mind informed him. He was the first savior. Four have lived in all. A fifth is about to be born, who will differ from the others. He will rule, and he will judge us. 44. Since the universe is actually composed of information, then it can be said that information will save us. This is the saving gnosis which the Gnostics sought. There is no other road to salvation. However, this information, or more precisely, the ability to read and understand this information, the universe as information, can only be made available to us by the Holy Spirit. We cannot find it on our own. Thus it is said that we are saved by the grace of God, and not by good works, that all salvation belongs to Christ, who, I say, is a physician. 45. In seeing Christ in a vision, I correctly said to him, "We need medical attention." In the vision, there was an insane creator who destroyed what he created without purpose, which is to say, irrationally. This is the deranged streak in the mind. Christ is our only hope, since we cannot now call on Asclepius. Asclepius came before Christ and raised a man from the dead. For this act, Zeus had a Cyclopes slay him with a thunderbolt. Christ also was killed for what he had done, raising a man from the dead. Elijah brought a boy back to life and disappeared soon thereafter in a whirlwind. The empire never ended. 46. The physician has come to us a number of times under a number of names, but we are not yet healed. The empire identified him and ejected him. This time he will kill the empire by phagocytosis. 47. Two-source cosmogony. The one was and was not, combined and desired to separate the was not from the was. So it generated a diploid sac which contained, like an eggshell, a pair of twins, each an androgyny, spinning in opposite directions, the yin and yang of Taoism, with the one as the Tao. The plan of the one was that both twins would emerge into being, wasness, simultaneously. However, motivated by a desire to be, which the one had implanted in both twins, the counterclockwise twin broke through the sac and separated prematurely, i.e., before full term. This was the dark or yin twin. Therefore, it was defective. At full term, the wiser twin emerged. Each twin formed a unitary entelechy, a single living organism made of psyche and soma, still rotating in opposite directions to each other. The full-term twin, called Form 1 by Parmenides, advanced correctly through its growth stages, but the prematurely born twin, called Form 2, languished. The next step in the one's plan was that the two would become the many through their dialectic interaction. From them, as hyper-universes, they projected a hologram-like interface, which is the pluriform universe we creatures inhabit. The two sources were to intermingle equally in maintaining our universe, but Form 2 continued to languish toward illness, madness, and disorder. These aspects she projected into our universe. It was the One's purpose for our hologrammatic universe to serve as a teaching instrument by which a variety of new lives advanced, until ultimately they would be isomorphic with the One. However, the decaying condition of Hyperuniverse 2 introduced malfactors which damaged our hologrammatic universe. This is the origin of entropy, undeserved suffering, chaos, and death, as well as the Empire, the Black Iron Prison. In essence, the aborting of the proper health and growth of the life forms within the hologrammatic universe. Also, the teaching function was grossly impaired, since only the signal from the Hyperuniverse 1 was information rich. That from two had become noise. The psyche of Hyperuniverse 1 sent a microform of itself into Hyperuniverse 2 to attempt to heal it. The microform was apparent in our hologrammatic universe as Jesus Christ. However, Hyperuniverse 2, being deranged, at once tormented, humiliated, rejected, and finally killed the microform of the healing psyche of her healthy twin. After that, Hyperuniverse 2 continued to decay into blind, mechanical, purposeless, causal processes. It then became the task of Christ, more properly the Holy Spirit, to either rescue the life forms in the hologrammatic universe or abolish all influences on it emanating from 2. Approaching its task with caution, it prepared to kill the deranged twin, since she cannot be healed, i.e., she will not allow herself to be healed because she does not understand that she is sick. This illness and madness pervades us and makes us idiots living in private, unreal worlds. The original plan of the One can only be realized now by the division of Hyperuniverse 1 into 2 healthy hyperuniverses, which will transform the hologrammatic universe into the successful teaching machine it was designed to be. We will experience this as the kingdom of God. Within time, Hyperuniverse 2 remains alive. The empire never ended. But in eternity, where the hyperuniverses exist, she has been killed, of necessity, by the healthy twin of Hyperuniverse 1, who is our champion. The one grieves for this death, since the one loved both twins. Therefore the information of the mind consists of a tragic tale of the death of a woman, the undertones of which generate anguish into all the creatures of the hologrammatic universe, without their knowing why. This grief will depart when the healthy twin undergoes mitosis and the kingdom of God arrives. The machinery for this transformation, the procession within time from the age of iron to the age of gold, is at work now. In eternity, it is already accomplished. 48. On Our Nature. It is proper to say we appear to be memory coils, DNA carriers capable of experience, in a computer-like thinking system which, although we have correctly recorded and stored thousands of years of experiential information, and each of us possesses somewhat different deposits from all the other life forms, there is a malfunction, a failure, of memory retrieval. There lies the trouble in our particular subcircuit. Salvation, through gnosis, more properly, anamnesis, the loss of amnesia, although it has individual significance for each of us, a quantum leap in perception, identity, cognition, understanding, world and self-experience, including immortality, it has greater and further importance for the system as a whole, inasmuch as these memories are data needed by it and valuable to it, to its overall functioning. Therefore, it is in the process of self-repair, which includes rebuilding our subcircuit via linear and orthogonal time changes, as well as continual signaling to us to stimulate blocked memory banks within us to fire, and hence retrieve what is there. The external information, or gnosis, then, consists of disinhibiting instructions, with the core content actually intrinsic to us, that is, already there, first observed by Plato, viz., that learning is a form of remembering. The ancients possessed techniques, sacraments and rituals, used largely in the Greco-Roman mystery religions, including early Christianity, to induce firing and retrieval, mainly with a sense of its restorative value to the individuals. The Gnostics, however, correctly saw the ontological value to what they called the Godhead itself, the total entity. 48. Two realms there are, upper and lower. The upper, derived from Hyper-Universe 1, or Yang, Form 1 of Parmenides, is sentient and volitional. The lower realm, or Yin, Form 2 of Parmenides, is mechanical, driven by blind, efficient cause, deterministic, and without intelligence, since it emanates from a dead source. In ancient times it was termed astral determinism. We are trapped, by and large, in the lower realm, but are, through the sacraments, by means of the plasmate, extricated. Until astral determinism is broken, we are not even aware of it, so occluded are we. The empire never ended. 49. The name of the healthy twin, Hyper-Universe 1, is Nomo. Note, Nomo is represented in a fish form, the early Christian fish. End of note. The name of the sick twin, Hyper-Universe 2, is Yurugu. These names are known to the Dogon people of Western Sudan in Africa. 50. The primordial source of all our religions lies with the ancestors of the Dogon tribe, who got their cosmogony and cosmology directly from the three-eyed invaders who visited long ago. The three-eyed invaders were mute and deaf and telepathic, could not breathe our atmosphere, had the elongated, misshapen skull of Akhenaten, and emanated from a planet in the star system Sirius. Although they had no hands, but had instead pincer claws, such as a crab has, they were great builders. They covertly influence our history toward a fruitful end. 51. Akhenaten wrote, "When the fledgling in the egg chirps in the egg, thou givest him breath therein to preserve him alive. When thou hast brought him together to the point of bursting the egg, he cometh forth from the egg to chirp with all his might. He goeth about upon his 2 feet when he hath come from therefrom. How manifold are thy works! They are hidden from before us, O sole God, whose powers no other possesseth. Thou didst create the earth according to thy heart, while thou wast alone. Men, all cattle, large and small, all that go about upon their feet, all that are on high, that fly with their wings, thou art in my heart. There is no other that knoweth thee, save thy son Ikhnaten. Thou hast made him wise in thy designs and in thy might. The world is in thy hand. 52. Our world is still secretly ruled by the hidden race descended from Ikhnaten, and his knowledge is the information of the macro mind itself. All cattle rest upon their pasturage. The trees and the plants flourish. The birds flutter in their marshes, their wings uplifted in adoration to thee. All the sheep dance upon their feet. All winged things fly. They live when thou hast shone upon them. From Ikhnaten this knowledge passed to Moses, and from Moses to Elijah, the immortal man, who became Christ. But underneath all the names there is only one immortal man, and we are that man. Acknowledgements. Vallis, copyright 1981 by Philip K. Dick. Excerpt from the Pre-Socratics by Edward Hussey. Copyright 1972 by Edward Hussey, by permission of Charles Scribner's Sons. Excerpt from the introduction from Lao Tzu, Tao Te Ching, translated by D.C. Lau. Copyright 1963 by D.C. Lau, by permission of Penguin Books Limited. Excerpt from the Nag Hammadi Library in English, On the Origin of the World, James Robinson, General Editor, translated by Hans Gebhardt Bertke and Orville S. Wintermute. Copyright 1977 by E.J. Brill, Leiden, the Netherlands, by permission of Harper & Row. Excerpt from Our Oriental Heritage by Will Durant, copyright 1935. Copyright 1963 by Will Durant, by permission of Simon & Schuster, a division of Gulf & Western Corporation. Excerpt from A Scanner Darkly by Philip K. Dick. Copyright 1977 by Philip K. Dick, by permission of Doubleday & Company, Incorporated. Excerpt from Gnosticism, from The Encyclopedia of Philosophy, by Hans Jonas, Paul Edwards, Editor-in-Chief. Copyright 1967 by Macmillan, Incorporated, by permission of the publisher. Excerpts from On Death and Its Relation to the Indestructibility of Our True Nature, from The Will to Live, Selected Writings of Arthur Schopenhauer, by Arthur Schopenhauer, edited by Richard Taylor. Copyright 1962 by Doubleday & Company, Incorporated, by permission of the publisher. Excerpt from The New Encyclopedia Britannica. Copyright 1980, by permission of the publisher. Excerpt from Protestantism by J. Leslie Dunstan. Copyright 1961 by J. Leslie Dunstan, by permission of George Braziller, Incorporated. End of Vallis by Philip K. Dick. Narrated by James D. Lotel, in the studios of the American Printing House for the Blind, Louisville, Kentucky, for the Library of Congress, May 1993. For special distribution as authorized by Act of Congress under Public Law 89-522, with the permission of the copyright holder and the publisher, Vintage Books, a division of Random House, Incorporated, New York. If you found any cassette in this book to be defective, please place a rubber band or piece of string around that cassette for identification. Place it in the container on top of the front stack of cassettes.